Towards the end of this week's parsha, we read the tragic story of the Megadef, or the Mekalel, the Jew who cursed or blasphemed with Shem Hashem, using God's name. And the Torah tells us that Moshe is instructed, Hotzi es Mekalel al michutz l'machaneh, take this man outside of the camp, v'samchu kol ha-shomim es yidehem al rosho. And then surprisingly, we read that all the people who witnessed this, who heard his blasphemy, must put their hands on his head. They do what we might think of as smicha, and then argumuhu oso kol ha'ida. They would all then stone him. This pasuk, and specifically the reference to smicha, that the people who heard his blasphemy put their hands on his head, raises two related questions. First of all, we know from the world of karbonos that generally when a person does smicha, they rest their hands on a karbon. That's a form of kapara. In this case, it is peculiar. What are the witnesses looking to get atonement for? They don't need kapara. They're just witnesses. They're not the sinner. They're not the one being punished. Why would they need to do smicha? What is the purpose of this seemingly bizarre ritual of them putting their hands on his head? Secondly, Rashi quotes from the Medrash in the Toras Kohanim that after they put their hands on his head, the witnesses would then say, Omrim lo, damcha beroshcha, your blood is on your head. Einanun enshim b'misascha, we are not being responsible, we are not being punished because of your death, which comes at the hands of our testimony. Ata garam talcha, your behavior is what caused this. You are responsible. You have your own blood on your hands, as we might say. What is peculiar about this statement from the Medrash and quoted by Rashi is not the merits of the statement. They're clearly true. We would never think of witnesses who come forward and give testimony that is deemed to be true to be the cause of a person's punishment. His or her behavior is the cause of the punishment. We only know about the behavior because of the witnesses, but it's not the witness's fault that the person's getting punished. It's a result of their own behavior. Nevertheless, what is peculiar is why would that be specifically articulated in this actual case of the blasphemer? It's true in every case. Anytime witnesses give testimony about someone doing a very serious avera that requires any kind of punishment, let alone the death penalty, you might have said in some perhaps deranged way, it's the witness's fault. And the response would be, no, it's not the witness's fault. The person has to take responsibility for his own actions, damcha baroshcha, as the Medrash so beautifully puts it. But if that's true all the time, how come it's only in this particular case, with this particular episode, this particular story, that Chazal make the point of the witnesses saying it, when really there's nothing unique in that regard about this case? In order to answer these questions, Rav Isaac Scher, who was a student and then the son-in-law of the famed Alter of Slobodka, and then in fact became the Rosh Hashiva of Slobodka, both when it was in Lithuania, and eventually when it migrated to Israel, and eventually he was Rosh Hashiva in Bnei Brak, dying in the 1950s. So in his beautiful set of Svarim, Leket Sichos Musar, he explains as follows. He says, you need to take a look at the discussion that we have in the Gemara, in Maseches Sanhedrin on Daf Nun Vav, which discusses the broader halachic principles and guidelines for if, unfortunately, there'd ever be a repeat of this. What would be the way we would adjudicate and investigate a similar case of someone blaspheming in the name of God? So there in Sanhedrin, it tells us that the witnesses come forward, and when they offer their testimony, the Bezdin, the judges ask the witnesses, what did this person say? What did you hear? But the Gemara says when the witnesses would give their testimony, they would not say the actual name of God that was used in the context of the curse, but instead would use the euphemism of Yofi. The word Yofi, in fact, the numerical equivalent of its letters, are equivalent with the same as the word Elohim. It has the same gematria as the word Elohim. So instead of using God's name, Elohim, or the specific name of God that the person used, they would use Yofi as a euphemism. And then they would say whatever the nature of that particular curse was. And of course, the judges, like in every case, would listen to the testimony, whatever the other witnesses or other evidence that was brought forward, and they would rule on the case. Says the Gemara, if it turns out that the judges rule that the testimony is considered legitimate and corroborated and therefore going to be acted on, and the person also deserves capital punishment, as the story in our Parsha, then what would happen is, right when they're ready to take him out to be executed, the Beis Din needed to be absolutely sure, 100%, that the Pesach is correct. And they would call the witnesses back into the court and they would tell them, you know, based on your testimony, this person is liable to the death penalty. He's Chayiv Misa. Now, tell us exactly what he said using his words using the name of God. And the witnesses at that point would utter the exact words of the curse, of the blasphemy that had brought up now this capital punishment, this onesh of Misa. And the Gemara concludes by telling us that this is such a traumatic and scandalous moment where you're recreating the actual crime in the court, that the dayanim, the judges, would actually tear kriya. And it would be in a very emotional moment for everyone, including the witnesses who had to express such terrible words. So in light of all this, says Rav Sher, now we understand that it's not just that the witnesses went through something that was sad or traumatic, but it was worse than that. By hearing something that they should not ever have heard, and then being required to say something that they never should have ordinarily said, this had the potential to have a very negative consequence on them. Even though they were doing the right thing and they're required by halacha to do so. But just because you're doing the right thing doesn't mean you can't be a casualty. There can't be collateral damage. And that, in fact, could have been. And therefore, he says, that's what the Gemara means. That's what Rashi means in our Parsha, when it says that they had to do smicha. Because yes, in fact, if you witness something like that, and if you're required to then ultimately articulate and utter those exact heinous words, you also need a kapara. You didn't do anything really wrong in the way that the defendant did. But nevertheless, by being required to repeat those words, that is something that is not only traumatic, but spiritually deleterious. And therefore, you actually needed some kind of kapara, and therefore you did the smicha on the head of the person who did it. Rav Sher derives from this the importance of mishpat, of the judicial system, that we can never execute anyone without exact perfect knowledge. And he goes on about that. But I would say that there's a slightly different muster for the rest of us. We're not in the legal system, which is that we have to realize that the impact that our words or anyone's words have not only on themselves, but people who hear them, that can also be very negative and corrosive.